everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're finally back with an episode.
We are.
It's been a while.
Yeah. What happened? I had COVID.
You did have COVID. And then we couldn't find these issues.
Yeah, they were hiding.
So I put them on a table in a highly visible place. And I'm like, okay, we'll get to these. And then you got COVID. So then we were going to record last weekend. And I was like, well, where are the issues?
And I was like, I thought you had them.
And I said, nope, they were on that table.
And I walked past that table so often, and I did not see them. And
where were they?
They were on the table, technically. But they were underneath the gigantic candle liner pan that we use for the buns. We
clean it off.
We usually use it to dry herbs for the rabbit sprinkle.
Yep.
So it is covered with an array of basil and parsley right now. So it was just sitting out, drying out. And I'm like, why is this wobbly? Why is there a towel underneath it? Oh, look, there are the issues. So we found them.
Yeah. We both searched a lot.
Yeah, I went through my comic bag. I went through my room. I went through every other spot in the downstairs. Like, yep. I remember them being on the table, but farther over and not covered by a gigantic object.
Yeah. Don't know how they got there.
No. I mean, they're very slippery when they're in their sleeves.
Yes.
That's all I can come up with.
So we found them, so that was good. The past month, it's now mid-November.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
But we did some winter seeding yesterday.
Well, you did.
I did.
I was doing something.
We did the rabbit boxes together.
Yeah, I was taking care of random other things, filling the bird feeder.
Oh, yeah, doing the compost.
Yep.
So for the cold stratification that a lot of wildflowers need, I put butterfly weed and sneeze weed and Joe Pye weed down.
Mm.
So scraped away the pine needles into a spot that is now a lot sunnier now that we've gotten rid of the buckthorn.
True.
And so laid the seed down in the rough soil, watered it, because the butterfly weed, fun fact, is a relative of milkweed. So when those seed pods pop open, there's gigantic things of fluff to carry the seeds far, far away. And I did not want them going far, far away. So I watered them in right away.
And then sprinkled some pine needles over them.
Yes, to help try to protect them a little bit from the squirrels, maybe.
Yeah.
And same with the Joe Pye weed. That's another seed that's designed to be airborne. So got those in the ground. So hopefully we have a nice wall of pollinator things. And sneeze weed is just super cute.
It's one of those things that doesn't actually cause you to sneeze.
Right. The sneezeweed pollen is way too chonky. Like, it's not airborne. Ragweed is very small, so that's what flies around and causes grief to people. But sneezeweed is a misnomer. And it's very cheerful. It's got this, like, big bulbous seed head thing in the middle and then cute little yellow petals all around it. So it's adorable.
Yeah. And let's see. I've decorated for Christmas.
Yes.
You helped put the tree up because I need some cheer.
Yeah.
Because this world sucks.
And I come from a family that's like, cannot do anything Christmas related until the day after Thanksgiving. Although I did start listening to some Christmas music. But the Christmas music I like is the dreary stuff, so.
Yeah. Also, your family, some of them are like, not until at least the day after Thanksgiving, but then they don't get a tree until like mid-December.
Yeah, sometime the second or third week of Advent.
Yeah, very Catholic.
Yeah, so I have to find my ornaments and I guess start bringing them over here.
Yeah, but there's a good array. We have new Bun Bun ornaments.
Yes, they're little mittens and someone crafted them to look like our buns. So Nora has her white nose and her one white posy. Clyde has very fluffy ears and very fluffy everything. And there's Nick, and there's Asta.
Nick has his little jowls.
Yes. That should go back and forth whenever he eats something tasty. Sometimes he slobbers.
Yes.
And by sometimes, I mean often.
Yes.
When he knows that a treat is coming.
He's very food motivated.
Yes.
And it is the season of giving for video games as well.
Yeah.
So Disney Dreamlight Valley released their new expansion last week, a day after Crusader Kings 3 released their new expansion.
Yeah, you have all the DLC to go through,
Yeah.
plus some of the old stuff.
Yeah, I started replaying Starfield,
Yeah.
which I never thought I would.
It's true. We've dunked on that game a lot.
Which, it's.
Are you having more fun with it now?
Yeah, I'm treating it more as like a Skyrim in terms of I'm not focusing on the space battle and having to fly place. Like, the flying places is basically traveling. But I'm not
Oh, yeah.
focused on like, I need to go engage these pirates and do a ton of space battles because I don't like those mechanics.
Yeah, and I think you can avoid them to some extent of landing directly on the planet and bypassing the whole thing, which is
So
nice.
I'm doing that. And then the Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny went on sale.
What is that? Have you started playing that game?
No, because I downloaded that right before the weekend.
Is it a Lego one?
No.
Oh.
It is like a first person year Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Very highly rated, apparently.
Nice.
And
And the
it
crew.
took 6 hours to download overnight.
No. You and your Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And just games in general.
Yeah. And the Crusader Kings expansion now has legends, and you can do funerals.
And it has plagues.
There's plagues, there's questions of legitimacy.
Yeah,
I just
plague.
inherited a bunch of people, and I went from ordained down to like whatever level 3 is out of 5. And I'm like, oh no, my vassals are expecting me to be at level 4. And there's a wide gulf, I would say, between 3 and 4.
There are a lot of factions forming against you
It's true.
because you did that and then you reformed your religion.
It's true. But now I'm organized and I can still be pagan Norse stuff while also adopting feudal ways.
That's fun.
You have to, the requirement is you have to be organized, and a lot of the other base religions are not. So you have to reform them, control 3 different holy sites. It's a whole thing. But it's fun, it's nerdy, it is as close to Star Trek Birth of the Federation as I will be able to get.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, my free time is already in danger from all these video games,
Yeah.
but if they release that Voyager game, like, it's all over.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to take a day off just to play it?
Yeah. I don't know, like, that's the thing, and I was talking with you because I follow some of these games in Reddit, like the Reddit subreddit thingies for
Yeah.
all of them. And people are busting through the new DLC for Disney Dreamlight Valley in like 2 or 3 days, which is crazy because to unlock everything, like, you need to gather resources, and it's not like you can buy those resources, you have to earn them.
Yeah.
So you basically have to grind the entire way to get these things to then unlock and go in and then do the little story portion for each section of the new DLC. And I think there are like three or four
Like,
sections.
yeah, people must not be working during these days that they're
No.
playing.
And how are you enjoying the game if you're just grinding for like 14 hours a day on a game? There are people that do that. That's not the way I can appreciate a game.
No, I feel like you would lose a lot of the details. And
Just
the.
to get like Tigger as a character you can hang out with. I was not a Winnie the Pooh girly.
Oh.
Like, the whole Tigger thing happened when we were like in late middle school at the very least, when they started releasing like a Tigger movie and
Oh.
things like that. Like,
Yeah.
that's when they really started going heavy on him as a character. So people younger than us, who obviously might have time to grind on a game, can do
Yeah.
so. But me, holding down a job,
Yeah.
it's not conducive.
And we're sort of in the age of evaluating what we want our PTO for.
Yes.
So
Like,
it is not the the infinite resource that it once was when we were younger.
right. And I mean, my accruals are a bit more than yours, which is nice. But I still don't want to be like, I'm taking a whole day off for a video game
With nothing to show for it at the end.
because I'm going to feel guilty that I didn't do chores.
Right.
Like, oh, I could have done XYZ,
Yeah.
which I still need to start all the sewing for Christmas presents.
Oh.
I need to cut the fabric.
I finally cleaned the house a little bit on Friday before I left, after work and before going to the gym. And I was like, oh, this feels really good. Like, I don't actually need to take a whole day just to clean and do chores.
Yeah.
And make it feel like I'm a functional human being.
Yeah. And Christmas movies, I suggested you to two Hallmark original movies on Friday. With you picked the first one.
Yeah.
Why did you pick it?
It has Dan Janot, who plays Sam Kirk in Strange New Worlds. And I know he did a bunch of holiday movies, so it's like, why not?
It's called All I Need for Christmas from last year.
Yeah. And, like, good for them for acknowledging, like, hey, I've grown from my childhood trauma. I did a lot of therapy. Like, good.
Yeah.
Way to normalize that.
And then we watched A Keller Family Christmas that came out earlier this year, like 3 weeks ago.
With Brandon Routh and Michael Bennett?
Jonathan Bennett.
Jonathan Bennett.
Michael Bennett is a wrestler.
Oh, well, I almost said Michael Bublé, so we'll take what we can get.
It's Jonathan Bennett, who you just saw on the newest episode of Finding Mr. Christmas.
You are very into the reality show aspect of that.
It's fun. And Davy Fisher, very hot.
But also overproduced.
Yes.
There's nothing real about that reality TV show.
Well, I thought you meant him and his abs.
Oh, I mean, personal trainer and model.
Yes. His talent at the talent show was exercise.
He is Ken. His talent was gym.
Yes. So, I don't know. It's fun. The gay won the weekly challenge. So, hey, can we be all the way mad about this?
At least they weren't eliminated first.
Yes. Speaking of Star Trek and Sam Kirk, but Sam Kirk doesn't appear in these, we have three issues of Early Voyages.
We do.
And the last two, to me, read like a modern comic, more so than a 90s comic. The pacing.
Oh, okay.
Tell me more. Well, why don't you kick us off with issue four?
Okay, it is Captain Pike, .. Caged. And it's basically a retelling of The Cage, the unaired pilot from the original series with Captain Pike and the turtlenecks and Spock with the very fuzzy eyebrows.
And the thing I was reminded of after we recorded our last episode, because we were like, who the fuck are all these people? All these people appear in The Cage. So I think we need to rewatch The Cage.
I think so too.
Because the helmsman, not the helmsman, Tactical.
Yeah.
He's in The Cage.
Oh. So it's basically a retelling from the perspective of Yeoman Colt, who replaced the one who died.
Yeoman Hottie.
He was giving those vibes.
Yeah.
Good friend with everyone and
with his little Van Dyke beard.
Yes. And so it even goes into, like, when she first arrived on the ship and number one is super cold.
She is like, you can never replace him, bitch.
Yes.
It was very odd.
Yeah. I mean, very different than the number one that we know from Strange New Worlds, which is great and fine. And, like, it's a reimagining.
Yes.
No one can ever be Majel Barrett.
No.
Fun fact, my coworker who is now starting Deep Space Nine skipped over the Luxana episode in season one with all the ambassadors. She's like,
that's a mistake.
The circle is happening. And I'm like, but that's after Luxana. And she figured out what happened. They skipped three episodes.
Oof. Yeah. On accident?
On accident.
Oh, no.
And they were really into the Odo episodes of, like, who is he? Where does he come from? This character is going through it. And the moments with Luxana and Odo in the elevator made them cry.
Oh.
I'm like, yes, you are watching the right show.
Yeah.
In it for the development. So this yeoman who gets nothing in the show, because it's the 60s and all that, gets so much more depth. And when everyone is cold and awful to her, she's like, I didn't even want to be here. I was assigned here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just as you say, this is a ship of the line. We go where we're ordered and do what we're ordered to do. Like, I was happy on the USS Hawking. I don't need this.
Yeah.
And I don't need people being dicks, basically.
Yeah. And what I've noticed by reading these comics is that they're written by Dan Abnett, Ian Edginton, and the gender parity is a lot better in the storytelling throughout. Like, not only this issue, but you can tell because of that it's the late 90s. Because I feel that was more of a thing. Like, everyone started realizing, oh shit, like,
There's half the population.
yeah, like, more than half the population is not represented well in media. So, that struck me as very late 90s in terms of how it's constructed, that they realize we have some great female characters. Why don't we actually use them?
Or female characters that no one knows are great because they never got an opportunity to shine,
Yeah,
which.
play. Yeah, I mean, you've seen my Star Trek action figure collection. We break them out for displays and things like that.
And to go to the Star Trek trivia.
But you notice, like, they released Spock and Pike from the Cage as action figures in the 90s. There was no number one.
And she was pretty key.
And Majel Barrett. Oh, I said it like a Frenchman. Oh.
Yeah,
Majel was still around, obviously, because they released a Christine Chapel action figure. So it's not like they couldn't get the likeness rights or anything. She would have made that
Right.
cash. But they didn't, even a couple years before this. So.
Yeah.
And they also released a Talosian and a
Does the
V.
forehead pulse? Is that the
No,
action?
I wish. And Vina.
Oh, yeah. So we get this retelling, we get them escaping, we get them playing with their minds, and even Yeoman Colt gets a flashback to the Academy days, and this dude being like, "Why are you breaking up with me?"
Oh, yeah, because you're a dipshit.
And she's like, "I made the right choice then." Also, he died on this other ship when it went down, like honorably, like doing, we both chose what we wanted to do, and we had I left it in real life on decent terms.
Yeah.
And afterwards, she was like, "Yep, they were messing with my mind, and it just reaffirmed that I made the right choice, sticking with Starfleet, and moving sort of on with her life." So afterwards, after they get back to the ship and flee Talos IV, and Yeoman Colt is like, "Oh, things are a little bit different. I guess I'm starting to feel like I belong again." And she has a breakthrough moment with Number One, where they drink coffee and eat sugary cereal.
Okay. It's
And
not food cubes.
no, it is very specifically not food cubes,
Yeah,
which makes sense. Lieutenant Sita Mohinda, I think, is the tactical. There's Lieutenant Eric Cole, Nurse Carlotti, Transporter Chief Pitcairn, Captain's Yeoman, oh, Cusick. That's the one who died.
oh.
And Chief Petty Officer Garrison. We get a little sketchbook thing at the end of the
Oh.
thing. And I like how when we were talking about, like, it's the 90s, people realize that, like, female characters need development and parody. And I flip to an ad and it's like some cat woman with boobs. I was like,
There
oh yeah, there's also that.
is also that. Issue 5 is a two-parter.
It's a new story.
Cloak and Dagger. Spock is on some sort of windswept volcanic planet? Yeah, it rhymes.
Baron.
Sure. They find a shuttle, the shuttle Apollo, from the USS Cortez, and they're like, oh, we found evidence that the Cortez was actually here.
It went missing 8 weeks ago. It's a planetary survey vessel. They are assigned to figure out what happened. And this system is rough.
Yeah, we get Nano. Yeah. Nano at Communications, and they're trying to get in touch, and of course it's atmospheric conditions. I said it was windy. If it's ever windy on a barren planet in Star Trek, you won't be able to communicate nor transport.
No, there's always ionic interference on a barren, windy planet.
So number one is at the con, in the captain's chair.
Where she belongs.
And they're trying to get in touch. They can't. On the planet, the new yeoman gets boosted up because the shuttlecraft is like, it skidded to
Wonky.
a stop, crooked.
Yeah, so they're like, I'll give me a boost. I can get to the hatch. It should be on top.
So she climbs in there, and in the meantime, we see some deaths, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah,
Red shirts in 2025?
except they're blue.
I know. And they are facing off against these creatures, humanoids.
They are protecting their faces from the wind so you can't see what species they are.
But we do see some slanty eyebrows,
Some
so we're
very
getting
slanty
clues.
eyebrows.
And the yeoman busts out. She's like, I heard the shooting, so I grabbed a phase rifle from inside here. Pew, pew, pew.
Their body armor can't stand up against this.
At the same time, the Enterprise gets attacked by the USS Cortez.
And it's like it's the ship. It's a Miranda class ship. So if you.
So, like,
What?
were Miranda class around
Yes,
this early?
it's the ship from Khan.
But that was like 20 years after.
Yes, it's the same shape. It's got the.
Well, I know, but was the Miranda class around that earlier? Was it developed between TOS and Wrath of
Oh,
Khan?
maybe, because it seemed to be able to beat up the Enterprise in the movie pretty
Right.
easily.
Down on the planet, the battle rages, and then Spock realizes that they have hand weapons, and
They have Lerpas.
it's Lerpas.
Which, if you remember from the Spock Amok, it's
Time.
Amok time.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Spock Amok is the Strange New Worlds episode
No.
title. It's the Vulcan weapon that they use on the plateau for the duel.
And then the ground crew gets rescued by these sailing ships in the sky.
Yeah.
And they're
Land
like, what is
cruisers.
this? And then Spock is like, they're hot Vulcans, flowing hair.
Pointy ears.
He's speaking Vulcan.
But like old Vulcan.
Yeah.
And we find out that they're Vulcans from before the. Oh, there's a term for it. The Renaissance of Logic.
The Logic Enlightenment.
That one.
They were a splinter group that didn't want to go all logical. They wanted to retain their emotions.
Or even, did they leave while
No,
or
they
during?
during.
Oh.
So they went to this planet and then somehow lost the ability to fly off of it. So it's
They
been two.
crashed.
It's been 2,000 years.
Yes.
There are only about 50 of
There are the people
them.
who live in the city, and then there's people who live outside, and they do not get along
So there are about 100 of them.
because it is the last of all cities is the hyphenate title that they say a lot.
So there's some sort of queen, a matriarch, matriarch T'Kel.
Yes, because there has to be an apostrophe, and Vulcan society is matriarchal.
So she's on a big throne. They see the captain of the Cortez,
Yeah.
and they have to show a lot of deference to the matriarch to be like, can I talk to him for a second? Can
Yeah.
we touch base?
And luckily the other crew in the away party sort of like make a diversion of sorts and like, hey, tell us about this thing,
Yeah.
leaving the two captains to talk. And the captain of the Cortez is like, yeah, we came, we got slaughtered basically, and they took over the ship.
Yeah.
And I think he's the only crew that is still alive,
Yeah, I think so too.
like that we ever see in this book. He says, uses like the, oh, what's the first person plural pronouns? Like we. So you theoretically there should be some other survivors floating around. Like maybe they're trapped in their quarters or
Oh,
something.
maybe.
Maybe. These Vulcans are violent, they're passionate, they are.
They have technology that was outlawed
Yeah,
2,000 years ago.
the hyper weapons.
So what? There's this face-off between Pike and one of the generals.
Yeah, he's a general or a prince. It kind of goes back and forth and is unclear because the leader of the outside the city Vulcans looks exactly the same.
And these ones in the city want to return to Vulcan,
as conquerors, basically.
Yes.
Like, you are wrong to embrace logic and tamp down your emotions and your passions. Look what we can do with them. Except apparently it does not survive well because there's so few of them.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
very odd. Like, you think that they would have, over 2,000 years, had a billion of these people everywhere,
Right?
but it seems to have gone the opposite way.
Probably because they are so violent. And somehow it turns out the people outside the city are the ones that took over the USS Cortez and equipped it with one of the hyper weapons that they had. And with it, they zapped the entire Enterprise in a big way.
Yeah.
And that's the cliffhanger.
I mean, decent issue.
Yeah, I like that it's an original story. I like that we get to see a culture that's not Klingon, and it's sort of like what they could have been.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a letters page, but everyone's like, I love this.
Oh, good.
And that's it.
So we get Cloak and Dagger, part 2 of 2. Same credits as before. There's all sorts of blue lightning sparking all over the Enterprise, and things are not going great. They are being boarded, and there's some slashies. Number one is taken by surprise that they are Vulcans, but they are very well armed. Meanwhile, back on the surface, they can't make contact with their ship, and the Vulcans in the last of all cities is like, yeah, welcome to this planet. That's how we got marooned here and stuck, and where we ended up making our civilization. So, battle rages on the ship. It actually goes surprisingly well, all things considered. Like, there are still some casualties, and there's still some injuries, but they're able to repel the Vulcans that came over from the Cortez. Number one is badass, kicks butt, and apparently Nano is telepathic. Did not
Okay.
expect a mind blast, but boom, there it is. And even the whole bridge crew basically survives, which is nice. And down on engineering, Commander Grace holds it down with a spear. They're like, sometimes the old ways are best, which may be a little bit of a trope, but they successfully repel everyone. And a few torn uniforms later, they're like, we need to get this ship repaired. Focus on sensors and shields first. Also, torpedoes. So they get a few shots off and somewhat disable the Cortez. It's that fun thing with the TOS ships where if you know the command codes, you can drop the shields of the other
Yes,
one.
Wrath of Khan.
Yes. So that's what they did to disable the Cortez.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
That's the sound it makes as that shield goes away.
Yes. And they say defense screens, which is not something often said in the later Star Treks, but they said in TOS, so I like that that fits. It's a little bit of authenticity there. And so the crews are still split. The matriarch is like, you know what? Here's the deal. You are going to take us to Vulcan, otherwise, we're going to kill everyone. But we're going to take over your ship. And the captain's like, are you sure? Is there no other way around this?
This seems bad.
Yeah. So they get sort of like shuffled off into a room. Spock has the whole, like, these people cannot reach Vulcan. These.
They're gonna fuck everything up.
I like. He says, this is no different than. Or my perspective on this is no different than yours would be. If we had discovered a colony of Khan's eugenics warriors or Hitler's Nazis.
Oh.
Like, oh, yeah.
Did he go back to 2025?
Which sort of makes sense with the how the Vulcans here are talking about, like, we are superior, we're this
Yeah.
is the way,
Yep.
like an abhorrent sort of cultural moment for the Vulcans. So, they're Spock is saying they're not different from the insurrectionists outside. We are still alive simply because she needs us and the Enterprise. We are a means to an end. If they truly have access to pre-Enlightenment weapons, then there's little doubt they would intend to return to Vulcan as conquerors. And they get summoned again. And I gotta say, the armor for these folks is very outgrowth, outcropping.
It looks like Onslaught.
It does look like Onslaught or Strife.
Yep.
There's lots of like somewhat pointy bits coming out, like they have little insect wings almost. And the crown is almost like one of the Nazgul crowns. Just some jagged spikes coming up. So the hyperweapon that T'Kal has is a planet killer. Like it harnesses the energies of the planet to destroy something. So she ends up doing it. She uses the weapon on the Cortez, kills those Vulcans.
And starts
She.
the destruction of the planet
Yeah.
just for like hitting a ship.
Yeah. I mean, it goes through the entire saucer
Yeah.
section in a big
They're
way.
dead.
They're kaput. But also, like, it's a Pyrrhic victory. Like, Starfleet is okay. Like, they dodge the falling boulders in a way that the other Vulcans cannot. But T'Kal ends up dying in Spock's arms, being like, "Don't forget us. We were who we were and why we died here. We, the last of all cities, remember." In a death rattle, as he is beamed away. And it
They
ends with Spock going through the rites of, I think it's called Kolinar, when Vulcans purge their emotions. He's like, "I've seen what can happen, and I don't want that."
And I swear he's done that. He did that afterwards too.
I think you can go through it a few
Okay.
times. But I witnessed firsthand why my people abandon conflict for cold reason. For the first time, I understand the path my life must follow. Passion kills, Captain. Logic does not. Boom, boom.
All right.
Although Pike does have a fun tunic
Oh.
in, like, bring back that look. So that's the end of that two-parter.
Yeah.
Like, it was good.
Yeah. I appreciated that it wasn't Klingons, like you mentioned.
Yes. That it was a novel story. It gave us more depth into the Vulcans and who they are. The art continues to be good. Like the likenesses, the space stuff, like the destruction of the Cortez was well inked, well colored. Like everything is good. A little bit rushed at the end of like, we only got through this from dumb luck. We didn't actually get through this with our own like
Oh.
diplomacy skill.
But that's sort of how it reads as a modern comic to me.
The dumb luck part?
The pacing.
Oh, yeah.
That it was a two-part story, it just clipped along, and then you were done.
And then, like, yeah, magical resolution.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, which the current Star Trek comics aren't as bad at, but a lot of comics
Oh,
do that
it's true.
because of how they package things.
Oh, are we going to do another recap of modern Star Trek comics?
We could right now.
I'm not prepared for that right now.
Okay. Well, we can do it on a future Star Trek episode.
Yeah. I mean, Red Shirts continues to be good.
Last Starship, we just got issue two.
Yeah.
So,
Also quite good.
yeah. Voyager issue three comes out the day this drops.
I think, yeah.
So there should be fodder for another episode.
Yes. I gotta say, in The Last Starship, far, far in the future, some Klingons arrive, because of course, and they use some of their older ships, so of course there's a D7. That stupid ship. It's
You have a vendetta against it.
just, I don't get it. It's sort of like when you, like a Romulan warbird, like it looks so cool, and you think about it, and it's like, why is there that whole underside piece? Like, how'd you get from point A to point B?
Yeah. Like the only way through is through the engines.
Yeah.
Maybe they just beam.
Yeah, like a short range sight to
Yeah.
sight within the shields of the ship.
Yeah, it'd work.
Yeah.
Maybe not at warp.
Yeah. And not when the transporter system goes down.
Yeah.
Then you're like, well, we're cut off from significant portions.
Yeah. It always blows my mind when they would, back in the day, when there weren't many resources, and you'd see it in like a technical manual or a magazine or something, where it showed the scale of like a Romulan warbird to with Enterprise D. And you're like, it's so much bigger, and why?
Because it's empty space.
Yeah.
Yeah, Although someone did that with the Oberth, which is like just a cute little science vessel in the Federation, like a tiny little saucer section of one cargo bay thing underneath. Or that's the nacelle, who knows? But like they're also like, how do you get from point A to point B with that similar, like you have to go around.
And that's where they cheat, I think, where they're like, oh, the turbolifts can go like any direction, and there's just a mini gravitational field within each car. So if you're going like sideways, you're not going to like fall because it has its own
Artificial
assistance.
gravity.
Yes.
Oh, Asta just did a roll flop. She's very into napping right now.
Which I can appreciate.
So we might make cookies, we might not, who knows?
Yeah. We'll see. We might nap, we might not.
Yes.
All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with an Alpha Flight episode.
Yeah. Be well.
Bye.